Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update, this week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet-sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello.
Oh, no, sorry.
Bitch.
Go ahead.
Hello? Welcome to True Romance. This is your host, Devin Leary, joined by my sidekick.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, say your name. People don't remember.
You guys, we don't actually know how to start a podcast anymore. We've regressed emotionally. It's been 1 week since we recorded our last podcast, and we've simply forgot. How do I even hold this thing? In the words of my predecessors, is this thing on?
I thought you were going to say, in the words of my predecessors, how do I even hold this thing? And then
how
I was going to
hold this thing.
Make a that's what she said joke about it, because I have a comedic mind, you know.
I just like think about, like, you know, you guys do something regular, but I think I have a funny spin on it. Like, if you're holding something that's the shape of a penis, you know I'm gonna have to say something about that.
You guys see a banana, I see a penis. That's
I see a
difference.
Big dong.
That's the difference between you and a me.
I want to talk about, someone DM'd us saying that I said the word trigger warning hookers last episode when talking about the
Wait, are you being serious with that trigger warning?
Kind of, not really. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
What, that's a bad word?
I guess so. That's what I mean to say, is that I feel like a boomer because I didn't say sex workers, and I'm sorry, I was just in the heat of the moment. I guess what I would say about that term is I don't find it offensive, because I don't think there's anything offensive about calling yourself that.
I just
don't think that's an offensive position. I don't think that's an offensive job. And so I didn't assume it was offensive. It's like calling myself a bitch. Like, I don't really assume that's offensive, because I don't think there's anything really offensive about being a bitch.
I would say, first of all, was the person who wrote in a sex worker?
Not pause.
Okay. So if you are not in the sex industry and you found yourself triggered by the word hooker, I would challenge you to go out and have some more life experiences. That's all I'll say. Okay?
I actually completely agree with you on that.
So,
I also, as someone who's watched as many HBO Cat House episodes as I have, not saying that makes me in the sex industry, but as someone who, for instance, has looked up where to buy Cat House episodes on HBO, they're not. You can't download them. It's really hard. I don't want to go on the, probably hazardous hack-filled websites that give me those episodes reversed, so all of the
yeah, those, or it's like Chirons in a tiny box,
or it's exactly.
In a tiny box in the corner.
I'm like, okay, this I guess is okay footage, just because it is just one of my favorite shows.
Okay, let me tell you that HBO is trying to get back into the world of the cat houses.
Thank God.
Have you seen this? They have that new show, Sex Diaries.
Oh, so it's like, is it like Taxi Cab Confession style?
It sort of is, but it's based on the New York Magazine column, Sex Diaries.
Oh,
and
right.
But basically, like, it follows people and it actually, like, shows them having sex. Like, it follows different people talking about their current sexual experiences, and then it'll show them having a sexual experience.
That is a little bit too intimate for me.
Well, I liked it.
I'm going to watch it with my family at Christmas.
Yeah, maybe it's like a good holiday gathering. But I will say the first episode, of course, classic, is with
is me. Of course. I watched the first episode with my family and it's me fucking my boyfriend.
And I was surprised, but there were those people with the cameras.
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
I felt like Harry and Meghan, where I was like, can you guys stay out of my personal life?
All right. I won't be watching that show.
I can't even tell you. Harry and Meghan should pay me to be their attorney for how much defense I've been putting out for them in the public. I have been walking around basically with, I'm like Robert Kardashian.
What
at the
are you
OJ
defending
trial.
Them though? I feel like, do you think that she's, the clips I'm seeing, she seems annoying. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. It's this duality of both. There's two true things. She has faced horrific racism. The royal family is bullshit. They're racist. That is all true. They have poisoned the world with colonialism. True. All true statements.
And she has a bad personality.
She might be like an actress. And she's an actress. Which
I saw that one thing was like, she was like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't really have time to watch TV. I read and play word games or something. I was like, okay, you lost me.
But I like her. I still like her. And I love their love story. That's what I'll say too, is I find their love story very romantic. So I'm the kind of person, you know how you say that you're very easily manipulated into being in a cult? That
yes.
You could probably fall into a cult. That's how I feel watching, like, everyone else after watching said, isn't it embarrassing how she said, I thought this was nice again at her wedding. She's like, I don't know why I was so calm. I was just so calm at my wedding. So hearing that back, I thought, oh yeah, that is a little obnoxious. But when I watched it, I thought, you are so amazing. I can't believe you were so calm either.
Okay. Well, my response to that is, oh, must be nice to have a wedding to be calm about even. Okay. First
Devin
of all,
could be married at literally like the, you know, Vegas wedding chapel and you would still probably shit yourself beforehand.
I'll never relate to someone who wears a boat neck ever. So that's where she lost me too. It's that boat neck wedding dress. Like, a neckline.
I was so jealous of that. I was fresh from the hospital with a very significant shoulder injury. And I saw those shoulders and thought, must be nice.
Okay. Well, that really.
Sorry. What were you saying? Are you insecure too? Oh, it's because you lost a piece of your shoulder bone on the freeway or for some other reason?
I actually have body dysmorphia and it's really hard. Okay, no, let me say what I was saying. So you, if that's the kind of love story you're looking for, you're not going to probably enjoy Sex Diaries. But I will say the first episode of what I was trying to say, of course, about is, of course, it was about a polyamorous woman, like someone who ethically non-monogamous. And this is what I find myself thinking in response to that. I'm like, why do these people think they're so much better than me? People who are ethically non-monogamous think they're better than me just because...
I don't think they think about you that much.
They think they're better than me because I have raging jealousy issues that tear apart my body from the inside. And these people can, I guess, go have sex and then not and then never think about it again. But is that like a real... Is that...
I don't know.
All right. I guess maybe I need to stop experiencing television content as a personal attack on my personality and my future, but it just feels like when these people are describing like, it just works. Like when we're together and when we're not, and it just works. It just makes me feel like, oh, so you think you're better than me.
Again, I don't think they think about us that much, but if they did, I think that it's fit for certain personalities. I don't know if that's mine. But at the same time, I don't know how I'll feel in 30 years. And
that's
a
true.
Part of me thinks that if I'm lucky enough to get married and find someone that I fall in love with and I want to be with for that long, if we're married for that long, I might be like, fine, go have fun one night. I might feel that way.
I can see myself doing that.
I don't want to. I love the idea. Once I saw my friend's parents, they came to visit his movie set. He was a writer. And these people are in their 70s. They're holding hands the entire time. They're just sitting together holding hands. And I thought that's really nice. I really liked that. And I obviously it's 7 years later, I'm still thinking about it. So you can tell it's left an impression. But I can understand if I didn't want to have sex anymore, which I don't want that to happen. But I understand the idea of being like, if you need to have sex that badly and I'm watching my stories, why don't you go do your thing and come back and we'll have dinner? I can understand that.
Mine is going to be an eye for an eye type of thing. Like, I'm fine with the other person. The other person can go out and have sex with someone. Then you better believe I'm going to be going out and having sex with two people. How about that?
You're like 60 years old.
Yeah. 60 years old looking for an orgy to one up my future husband because I am secure and confident and normal.
We have some Q and A's. That means questions and answers in the industry lingo.
Yeah.
So we opened up our Instagram, by which I mean Devin, because talk about jealousy. I have trouble going on that thing without leaving and questioning all my life choices. And we got some great questions that are very much holiday themed, which I really did enjoy. I'm going to kick it off with two that I feel are related. Is Christmas actually better in a relationship? Someone asked us. Okay. So Devin's in a relationship happily. I'm happily single. And
so you can draw your own conclusions about who's having a better time.
No, I really like being alone and doing my own thing with my free time at the moment. I know I'm going to want to meet someone eventually, but I like not having to divvy up any time. I like watching what I'm going to watch on TV. I like eating what I want to eat. I like not showering for 2 days and not having any self-consciousness about that. I like wearing glasses all the time because I don't want to put contacts in. I like not shaving my legs. That didn't really change when I was in a relationship. But I am okay over the holidays single. And what I'll say is compromising in a relationship is just non-negotiable. You have to compromise. And right now I'm enjoying not compromising. Now, Devin is in a happy relationship and I understand what it feels like to like compromising.
Oh, I don't compromise at all. Nothing's been compromised on.
I guess it is not a non-negotiable then.
No, I agree with you. It's kind of nice. Like, to me, the holidays, it's like number one, family. Number two, binge eating. Like, that's what it's really about. And I think binge eating is hard when you like might be having sex with someone later. So
that's true.
So I think there's positives and negatives to both sides.
Or it's not. And you're like, you're going to be on top and I'm keeping my shirt on. And that is fine, too.
Oh.
Sorry, that's just like the lazy person's position is like missionary. Like, we both have our shirts on because we just like wanted to get to it.
Oh, okay.
And I really like that. And I'm sorry if you don't. We got another question. Oh, sorry. I will end that one by saying I love gift shopping. My sister's really good at it. I'm pretty good at it. And so I start thinking about gifts for a significant other in like October. I'm ordering that gift in November. I really do think about it a lot. So I do miss that. I don't miss getting gifts. And this is not even boyfriend specific. All my boyfriends have been shit at gifts. 1 year, I got a beautiful photography book that I actually really liked. But for the most part, I'm talking candles. I'm talking lotion. I'm talking gifts that I think I don't even use this. And you know that. So besides a nice piece of jewelry once, a nice photography book once, I don't really get what I give, but yeah, I like what you pointed out with binge eating because I can't really fully be myself eating wise. Like, I'm making crepes for Christmas this year and I'm going to really go hard, and that might not have been the case.
Are we talking sweet or savory crepes?
Sweet. I don't do savory. I don't do savory dessert.
Okay. I respect that. I think
that's
the hell
perverted,
out of that.
Actually.
No, it's sick. It's absolutely sick.
It's sick and it's
British.
When
someone gets the cheese croissant at the bakery, as someone who can never eat a normal croissant again, fuck you.
For someone who gets the cheese plate at dessert, which I have seen done before after dinner, I think, what's going on?
No.
Are you okay? Was that a seizure? Second question is, how do you decide whose family to spend the holidays with?
I will say that I am, this is What? Why are you laughing already?
I'm laughing because you love the holidays with your family so much.
I do love the holidays with my family so much. That being said, I have never once spent a holiday away from my family. This is the first Christmas I will ever be spending away from my family. It was a really hard decision, but I think it's also a part of growing up to say, you know what? I'm not going to be here this Christmas. But I think that the decision should be based on exactly what you want to do for yourself. What makes you happy? How about that?
I think that's a mix. I think if you're in a committed relationship, you owe your partner time with their family, and hopefully you enjoy it. This is my controversial opinion, and it goes along with my other opinion.
What? That sex workers are hookers?
I'm going to bring up the word hookers again. I think that you can also spend the holidays separate from each other. When you have kids, I understand you don't have that luxury. We have this idea of coupledom, which is like, what are you eating? I'll eat the same thing. What are you doing?
What?
I'll do the same thing. Like, I mean that.
Wait, I'm sorry. I've never known having to eat the same thing as your partner.
Courtney and Travis, I'm referencing there.
Oh, so normal, like average.
Yeah, normal emo couples. Anyway, so I actually am okay with spending the holidays apart. It's sad because I want to like be with my partner during a special time, but it's not so sad that we should both inconvenience ourselves if we're both going to have fun doing things with our family. I guess when you have kids, you have much more loaded choices, but I don't. So I'm good right now.
I have 7 kids, but they're on their own.
Wait, what?
And also, let me say this. My decision about the holidays this year was based exclusively on the fact that my boyfriend's from Chicago, and I've always wanted to be in Chicago at Christmas time because Home Alone 1 takes place there.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing I think people need to be thinking about.
Okay. I want to jump to what is the coolest gift you have ever given someone?
The coolest gift that I've ever given someone is my friendship when I met a curly-headed girl on the streets of New York, and I decided to not only give her my time, but also agree to be her friend when she really needed it.
I just want to correct the record. Devin actually needed my friendship at that time, as she was currently dressed as a motivational dancer at a bar mitzvah that the 13-year-old actually
thought.
Hooker
again.
I know, I almost did.
We thought she was going to say hooker again.
Almost did. What is the coolest gift you ever gave someone? So this is not Christmas specific, but I was very proud of this. I had a boyfriend whose mom would make him every birthday when he was a kid cupcakes in an ice cream cone. Obviously, that sounds good. And I asked her, what should I make Billy Bob Thornton, my boyfriend at the time, for
the way, his mom his... was 95 years old. But
by the way, this is when I was dating Billy Bob. And I asked her, what should I make him for birthday? And she said, well, I don't know what his favorite cake is. You know what? I used to make this when he was a kid. So I make that for him. And, you know, it's his birthday night. I meet up with him after work, and I will never get over how shocked he was to see it. He literally collapsed on the floor. He was so excited. And I think that kind of personal attention, people just want to know that you're paying attention to them. And I mean that for myself as well. The photography book was such a nice gift because it's my favorite photographer, Linda McCartney. And I was so touched that this person even thought, like, remembered that. And so I think that is really the key to a nice gift.
I think, you know what? Something I really respect about Carolina, speaking of the gift of friendship, is how you can turn such a simple question into a multi-layered brag about yourself, not only about how successful.
I really thought that was going to be a sincere compliment, by the way. Your gift was? They just asked what the coolest gift was. What was I going to say? A lame gift?
Okay, Carolina, the fact that you answered that earnestly with a full-blown brag and then added on top. For example, I also loved getting a photography book by my favorite photographer, Linda McCartney.
You know where I found that book, by the way, for the first time? Was at your house.
Okay. Well, now that we know sincerely what was truly and earnestly Carolina's best gift, next question.
What were they asking?
Okay.
Wow.
I want true romance.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes
I guess identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, are the holidays an excuse for not texting consistently? Not at all. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. No, that's my final answer.
No, I will say this, though. I think that people need to... Never mind. I agree with what you said. I don't want to say my thing.
No. I now, after saying such a aggressive answer, after saying the coolest gift I ever gave someone, after being explicitly asked that, I think that, A, you have to be very clear with what you want texting-wise. I have asked people when they're out of town working, I understand that they might not have time to talk every day because they might be, you know, for instance, working 15 hours a day. So, but I will say I need a text every single day.
I agree.
I have asked the same thing on the holidays. I just need a text. I need you to get back to me. I may not even need a call if you're with your family, but I do need a text every day. And if someone's just not texting me when they're in their hometown, that to me is suspect behavior. I don't think it's hard to just say goodnight via text is what I mean. Do I think you need to text all day with your family when you're having meals with them? No, actually, that's kind of disrespectful to your family. But there's no excuse not to text being like, hey, having a great time. Hope you're having a, you know, good holiday. I just think that's crazy.
I think that if you have to ask someone to respond to you, having been in a relationship like that, you got bigger problems.
I don't know, though. I think that sometimes men are bad at texting, but you have to be explicit. And then when they don't meet that boundary or that, like,
but what is bad at texting mean? Bar, what does bad at texting mean? It means you're not thinking about the person enough to respond. That's what that means. Because I've dated like much older men, as many of us can relate to, and
not who, me, but continue.
Who were like not used to texting, I guess, because they were like old. And
they fought World War II and they got phones when they were like 40 for the first time.
But those people, those people talked on the phone to me like, you know,
they told you stories about the beaches of Normandy.
They did. And they called me and they
said, that's true.
And they said, now, how's this working? How's your voice getting from where you are to where I am?
you know?
That's true.
No, I'm just saying there's no such real thing as bad at texting. Fuck off then.
Yeah, I guess if someone can't meet a simple bar, then like Devin said, you have bigger problems. But if you need to text every hour, that's different. But I don't know. I don't know a lot of people who do.
I don't either. I would never expect a text every hour. That's insane.
That's cuckoo crazy. Okay, this one is good. Ever had a partner who was weird about getting haircuts? Kind of in the holiday spirit, my partner thinks he can rock facial hair and long hair just because it's getting cold outside. I don't mind the facial scruff, but overgrown hair around the ears gives me the ick. We're a new couple, but have said I love you. Am I in the wrong for wanting to tell him he has to cut it?
Okay, let me say one thing first and foremost. Is this in the holiday spirit simply because this guy looks Santa. Like Santa Claus?
Yes. What if it is Santa?
Is this bitch Mrs. Claus? I would say you cannot really ever tell a partner to change something about their appearance. But I will say that also men are really weird about their hair. And I one time dated this guy who had a blatantly receding hairline. And he told me that like his mom had said his hairline was receding. And he was like, do you think my hairline's receding? And I thought of it as a question such as like, do you think the sky is blue? So I said, right. Oh, yeah. And he lost his fucking shit. So men are weird about their hair. I think it's like all they have. Like,
I don't understand the male hair thing. And I think Devin, you and I can both speak to this. And I remember when we talked to Brian Husky and Charlie Sanders on the Bald Guys pod, and we were both like, bald men are so hot to me. Like, I can't even talk about it. And so I don't think of that as like weird. But yeah, men are sensitive, just like women are sensitive. What I will say is that I really liked a relationship I had where my partner felt comfortable telling me things, but they were not demands, if that makes sense. So for instance, I famously don't like shaving my legs. And my partner was very much like, I would say like, do you want me to shave my legs? And he would be like, sometimes, yeah. Or for instance, I would say, do you like this skirt? And he would be like, I know you like it. And I would say, do you like these flip-flops? And he'd be like, I know you like them. And that felt very much like, okay, I understand your preference. I did stop wearing that skirt because I do want my partner to think I'm attractive.
But you didn't start shaving your legs.
But I did not start. Yeah, that's just hard for me. It's hard for me. Then my legs get so hairy, they fill up a razor. TMI, I don't care.
Okay, so then you rinse the razor off.
Yeah, but then you do it all over and over and over and over again. And you get so tired. I think that there's a couple of things. I think that if it's really bothering you, you can say, because he might be like, oh, you don't like it? That's fine. I think you can say that. I think, though, if you are planning to say that, you have to be okay with whatever emotional reaction he gives. So if he's really upset by that, you have
to
think,
if he murders
like,
you, you have to be okay with that.
That's your fault.
If he punches you in the eye, you ask for that.
Yeah, I only mean like if he's upset, then it's like, yeah, you said something that might like trigger a person.
You said hooker. You might have triggered someone.
I have explicitly asked guys if they wanted me to get a boob job. And when they have said yes, I have been like, ugh. But at the same time, what did I just ask them?
I know. I do that too all the time.
All the time.
I do that as a self-harm thing. Like,
yes,
all the time.
But I do think you can be like I had a boyfriend who grew a mustache once. And no, it was not a completely full mustache. And his friends would be like, do you like the mustache? And I was like, yeah, because I did because of a sexual proclivity I have. Which is like literally the only time I like oral sex is when it's from someone with a mustache.
Okay.
But
the fact that you even say only time you like oral sex is so disturbing to me.
I know people get upset by this, but it's just the fact that I love being fingered and I don't understand why I truly try to keep my mind around it. I'm like, I just don't understand oral sex. I'm turned on by the thought of it. I think it's that like, okay, this is what I'll say too. I get nervous about telling men what I actually want.
You need to find someone who just does it automatically.
I don't know, but this has been like, there's not been one guy in a series of not too few, not too many, just amount of right. I'm like the perfect amount of sexual partners, which I've had. I'm like under 20 sexual partners, I would say. There hasn't over 10.
Brag
there
again. Hasn't... Brag again. Okay, go ahead.
I don't even know what to say anymore. Because if I'm talking about my glamorous life where I've had sex with 16 guys, I don't think that's a brag. I wish I had sex with more guys.
It's a brag that it's not a lot.
Oh my God, no. I would love to have a Sex in the City life where I was having sex all the time. I hate that, like, I'm so turned on by White Lotus because I haven't had sex in so long. I think that's embarrassing. I literally almost didn't say it because it was embarrassing.
You're right that it's very rare that men are just good at oral sex. But I also wonder if, like, it's the same for men. It's like, everybody needs to just be comfortable to say what they like. It's like, if you're not saying what you like, you're not going to get what you want. And I know that's a groundbreaking statement, what I just said.
I'm writing it down.
Everybody, please take note of that.
Oprah is listening to this right now being like, holy shit.
Oprah's about to call Gail and invite her over.
I need you to listen to this Christmas episode of True Romance. They're talking about oral sex and they said something really powerful, actually. And Gail's like, babe, I'm working.
One day, Carol, you will meet someone who does it automatically the way you like it. And then
I don't know, because I don't know if it's that I don't. Because I don't even know how I like it because I haven't experienced it in a way that I'm like, holy shit.
It might just not be for you. Yeah, that's fair.
That's by the way, it sounds when I get an orgasm. Holy shit. Holy I'm like, good dude. Shit.
Dude, no, that was wrong.
You do have to get a vibrator, though.
No, I don't want to.
Okay. It makes me so upset.
I don't want to yet.
I want true romance.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Do you wait until after the holiday season to break up with someone?
I have a lot to say about this because I have twice broken up with someone right before Christmas because I got to the point where I simply could not comprehend the idea of having to spend Christmas with this person. And that has its benefits and its negatives. On the benefit side, you have, as my dad said, quote unquote, one less present to buy. On the negative side, you might end up in the Stu Leonard's parking lot on literal Christmas Eve holding meat that your mom needed while trying to literally talk your ex off a ledge because they called you having a mental breakdown because you broke up with them right before Christmas and they're saying that they don't want to go to their family holiday party because now they're alone and it's embarrassing. So positives and negatives.
Yeah, I think that recovering over a breakup with your family over the holidays actually sounds totally nice. I was broken up with once before, like 2 weeks before my 30th birthday. And there's no good time to be brokenhearted. And if you're breaking up with someone on Valentine's Day, like I did when I was like an asshole 21-year-old, maybe that's like not very nice. But again, there's no right time. There's no wrong time. You can only be so sensitive. And sometimes we avoid things that we don't want to do and like blame like a holiday or the person's going through a hard time, which they totally might be. But if you believe that they have a relative support network and they're stable, even if they're unstable, I'm sorry, but like, we are not supposed to caretake anyone. We are not supposed to like hold someone's hand through a tough feeling. I've seen a lot of girls, including myself, I used to do this, break up with someone and then want to hold their hand through it. And it's like, no, you have to trust them. You can't like, you know, like Devin said, sit on the phone with them while you're trying to go live your life. You don't have to be cold, but you can say, I'm sorry, I care about you, but I cannot do this. And I hate that it's around the holidays, but I don't want to waste your time. That's a big thing for me. I don't want anyone to waste my time. I don't want to waste anyone's time.
I would rather be alone than with someone who doesn't want to be with me at all times. Doesn't matter when. Doesn't matter if it's my birthday. Doesn't matter if it's the White Lotus finale day. Doesn't matter at all.
I wouldn't even be, period. I wouldn't even care. I'd be like, I don't have time to think about this right now. I have to find out what happens.
Yeah, I'd be like, great. Bye. So yeah, I think people just break up as soon as you can. We all know that feeling where like you get to the point where you're like, as a friend of mine once said, like, I can't unknow this now. Like, I know for a fact I have to end this and I can't unknow it and it just needs to be done. You should just do it right then and there, whenever that is. I mean, if you're like at a funeral, maybe, but like, I mean, even then it's like, all right, this day already sucks. And by the way, I'm leaving you.
I had a sad 30th birthday, but then I got a dog and I wouldn't have that beautiful dog in my life that I picked up in a Whole Foods parking lot because I was so depressed and sad. And now it's like my favorite baby. Anyway, but I was fine. Like I was sad, but no one needs to protect me from my sadness. You know, that's how we get strong. It's okay. You can trust their experience. They'll be okay. If you can wait the day after Christmas, maybe that's okay too. But weeks, no. What is the best holiday movie? I will go to war for the Family Stone. I wish I had written that movie. I wish I was in that movie. I love that movie so much. Tess sits in front of the pod. Also said is You've Got Mail, a Christmas movie. I watched You've Got Mail around Thanksgiving, and I would actually argue that it's a Thanksgiving movie, but I would say a holiday movie overall. Yes, I think
Prisoners, which is now available on Netflix, is also a good holiday movie.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Also, Jess Jacobs asked us if we had watched I Believe in Santa on Netflix, which is apparently very unhinged, and it's in the top 10, I think, maybe because it's so bad that everybody is watching it. I didn't watch it, but I did read the IMDb description, which is love is a gift, but when you find out the man you've fallen for still believes in Santa, do you accept it or send it back?
Wow.
And that was an interesting question. The trailer also, I noticed in the first like few seconds of the trailer is like a woman in a magazine office typing Christmas ... into a Word document.
Yes, love that.
I think if I was dating someone and they said they still believed in Santa,
I would be scared.
I would think this man is stupid. And having just watched the Peacock special about, by the way, why did they have to choose the name Peacock? It's like the fucking worst name for a streaming service. It's like it forces you to say a phallic word. It forces you to be uncomfortable.
We already mentioned we're comedians. We're like, you know, I go to dark places with my head.
I am not like you guys. I'm not normal. I'm funny. So for me, it's like hard if I'm at my boyfriend's family's house for the holidays and we want to watch something. It happens to be on Peacock. I'm supposed to say Peacock.
I'm gonna say something about it.
I'm supposed to just say Peacock without making a penis joke. I mean, they make this so hard. But I watched the Sherry Papini true crime. Speaking of Papini, I watched the Sherry Papini thing on Peacock. It made me think like men have done so little for me in my life. And meanwhile, a man helped this woman fake her own kidnapping and her husband was barely able to catch on to it.
That's what you took out of the show, was that men haven't done enough for you and that you would never get this level of commitment.
Yes, it made me think like I should have maybe been choosing stupider men. So if I started dating someone who said he still believes in Santa, I might say, all right, here's the deal. Pick up some zip ties and some duct tape at Home Depot. We're going to fake my kidnapping. You're going to be a part of it.
And he's going to be like, but I can't miss Christmas.
I'm going to say, you want to be on the nice list or not, bucko?
Yeah, I would be absolutely fucking terrified. I think we should end with this one because it makes me sad and happy all at once, which is choose New York or Cali Christmas. I've had tropical Christmas for 6 years and I miss the snow.
All right, I miss brag, New York whoever this is, brag. I've had tropical Christmases for the past 6 years.
You know what? Tropical, they just mean Los Angeles. I cannot, Devin's, the ease with which Devin says brag. Remember when I was in a relationship and you weren't, and every time I said anything about a boyfriend, you said brag? Do you want me to start doing that to you when you talk about like going yes. to your boyfriend's? No.
Okay.
Yes.
I do remember that, like, whenever you, when we first met, whenever you said like you had a hard time with anything, I'd be like, you have a boyfriend, you fucking idiot. Your life is perfect.
I'd literally be like, I'm going to meet up with my boyfriend. And Devin would be like, oh, brag. Okay, we get it. You have a boyfriend. And I'd be like, I don't even know. Like, okay, yes, I am. I can see you actually thinking about this.
No, no. I want to say, I have rarely been so depressed in my life as when I was in LA at Christmas time and my next door neighbors put up all these fucking Christmas lights and I would walk outside. It was like 75 degrees and sunny and there was like a light up fucking Santa playing Jingle Bells. It made me so depressed. I think you need to have seasonal weather.
I do too. And I did recently walk by someone's blown up Santa repeatedly fucking the ground because it was just bumping up and down against the ground. And I thought, that's sad.
Only in Hollywood. Only in Hollywood.
Kids. So I did videotape that and with my camcorder. And then, yeah, there's just something about, I miss New York all the time. Living in New York was really hard. Just hustling, always being late to work, mainly because I just couldn't manage time well. Always being nervous about getting on the subway and missing the train and looking up the train schedule, calling a car service even though I couldn't right. afford it.
This is sounding like personality flaws as opposed to location
it
flaws.
It is. Okay. I am still late, but I'm comfortably in a Lyft. Crying in public. I did so much crying in public in New York, screaming at boyfriends in public. You know, oh, I did that in New yeah. York.
I currently still do that.
I mean, the public aspect and just my quality of life is better here. But when I go back to New York, there's an excitement. This is why You've Got Mail is a good movie. The feeling of walking in the brisk air in New York down the street and being excited about someone or life in general.
While Dreams by the Cranberries plays.
While you go open up your bookshop that used to be your mother's, that's your passion project, and you're competing with FOX, Fox News, down around the corner.
Fox News. You're competing with Sean Hannity. And meanwhile...
Sorry, Freudian slip. meanwhile, you have an affair with Tucker Carlson. You're trading anonymous letters with Tucker Carlson. Imagine you had a actual, like you're exchanging emails with someone and you don't know who it is and you find out it's like Roger Ailes.
No, that is a Netflix Christmas movie
now,
I would like to see.
That is a Christmas movie and he believes in Santa still. And you're like,
I would be watching that.
I actually would watch that. So you're going to your boyfriend's for Christmas.
Yeah. And?
Brag. I might go to Palm Springs, but for actual Christmas, I'm not doing fuck all.
I am going to be practicing in the mirror my responses to opening gifts because I'm so nervous about opening gifts in front of strangers.
I hope you know that's what Jodie Comer does in Killing Eve because it's psychopathic behavior.
I'm a psychopath.
You're like, thank you.
I'm mimicking human behavior because it does not come natural to me.
Sure.
And that's okay.
Okay, I have a tip for you though that I think will be really good.
What?
You go, oh my God, are you serious? Like, I can't believe it.
Oh my God, are you serious? I've always wanted something like this. Was that
okay?
Good?
Readers, do we not completely believe her?
And then meanwhile, it's this bondage set from his grandmother.
Are you serious? I got this gag ball that I can put in my mouth. I'm going to wear it all day. Oh my God, a dog leash? Oh my God, thank you. Okay, wait, let me try it on. Walk me around.
Okay, yeah.
Oh my God, a latex mask with a zipper for my mouth? Okay, zip me up. Even if I say no, don't take me out.
Well, I will say that the reason I said that is because on Sex Diaries, there was a guy who has a latex fetish. And he's like dating someone that he met on Hinge. And the girl,
he's like talking, giving this whole thing about how he feels so grateful. He's so lucky that he met a woman who understands like his fetish. Meanwhile, you can just tell this girl has been on so many Hinge dates and she finally found a guy that she thinks is normal. And then he's like, so anyway, here's my closet full of latex. And she's like, are you serious? She's like, are you fucking serious right now? But she's like, dating in New York is so awful that I'll just fine. I'll put a latex mask on, whatever.
Honestly, if some guy, a dream guy, and he does that, I'd be like, thank God. I literally would be like, thank God it's not worse. Like, thank God it's just this. This is just inconvenient. I just don't like rubber on my skin. It's why I've done the pull-out method for all of my 20s. And so, you know, fine. I'll do this.
Well, it's also like, it's funny because it's the same, because he's a man, a straight man. It's like the same struggles we all have. She's like, all right, well, did you wash the latex suit since last time? And he's like,
yes. Did you brush your fucking teeth?
He's like, yes, I did. I always do. And it's like classic.
It's so funny. It took me literally like, you know, 10 years of having sex before I was like, can you wash your hands?
I know.
Like, Lord knows what you've done. And it kills the mood sometimes, but it's worth it. I'm like,
I don't want a UTI.
I don't want a UTI. Ugh. God,
men.
What we put up with.
Oh, men.
I'd like to end today's episode by going, men.
Ladies, I would like to end tonight's episode by saying, hookers.
Oh my God, we are going to have to cut that out. I just don't want any confrontations in my life at this point.
I want to leave that in, please.
All right, don't come after us unless you're a cute single guy. And then my number is beep, 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 beep.
Cool. All right.
Merry Christmas, Devin.
More like happy holidays. Jeez.
Actually, this is a fight that I will be taking to the streets. Please do not. Actually, it physically pains me when you say happy holidays and don't acknowledge Christ, our Savior, our Lord.
Thank you.
He's walking with us right now. You see those footsteps behind you in the carpet?
That's JC.
That's Santa. Blessed be with you and your families. Safe travels, folks. We really love you. And tune in next week.
Love you, Carol.
Love you, Devin.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance. It's true. True. Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true romance.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.